Well, our scripture text this morning is taken from the book of Job. Job chapter 9 in verse 4. God is wise in heart and mighty in strength. Who has hardened himself against him and prospered? Now God's servant Job had lost his property, his children, and his health. Yet for all of this, Job did not speak against the Lord. He maintained his relationship with God through prayer. Yes, Job did ask, why? But he always was reverent as he fervently pleaded his case to the Almighty. And he held to the Lord's attributes in his dialogue with his three friends. And in chapter 9, Job responds to Bildad's comments in chapter 8. Bildad's comments were to the effect that Job should repent of some wickedness that he was sure that Job was guilty of. So we learn that although it is often true that calamity is a direct result of our sin, it is not always true. And Jesus affirmed the same. In Luke chapter 13, there were present at that season some who told him about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And Jesus answered and said to them, do you suppose that these Galileans were worse sinners than all other Galileans because they suffered such things? I tell you no, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Of those 18 on whom the tower in Siloam fell and killed them, do you think that they were worse sinners than all other men who dwelt in Jerusalem? I tell you no. But unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Jesus' point is this, that calamity in this sin-laden world can come at any moment with anyone, even you or I. And therefore, it is of most urgent nature that you repent and believe upon Jesus Christ today. For thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. We have 3 points this morning arising directly from our text. First, God is wise in heart. Second, God is mighty in strength. And third, who has hardened himself against him and prospered? First, God is wise in heart. God's wisdom is seen in his creation. The Lord, by wisdom, founded the earth. By understanding, he established the heavens. God's wisdom is unsearchable. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. God's wisdom is superior to man's wisdom. The foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. God's wisdom is seen in the scriptures, both Old Testament and New, and in his eternal plan of salvation. Have you known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus? There is no wisdom beyond God's book. So I strongly recommend that you consult it as your first source of wise advice. And there is no hope for you in the life to come apart from Jesus Christ. And so I strongly advise that you consult him in prayer. A second point this morning is that God is mighty in strength. God has spoken once. Twice I have heard this, that power belongs to God. The Lord on high is mightier than the noise of many waters, than the mighty waves of the sea. Who can this be? He commands even the winds and water, and they obey him. So let us say with Job, I know that you can do everything and that no purpose of yours can be withheld from you. For our strength is small, but His is great. For life's greatest challenges, we must lean on the Lord and His strength, as we say. With men, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. Now let us consider Job's question in light of these things. And I'm going to park here for a little bit. Who has hardened himself against him and prospered? Consider Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, who hardened his heart continually against the Lord God, even though he witnessed the miraculous working of God. He hardened his heart, and then he lost his firstborn son, and his kingdom was diminished. Truly, Pharaoh did not prosper. The Lord urges us not to follow in the ways of the generation of Israel in the days of Moses, saying, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion, as in the day of trial in the wilderness, when your fathers tested me. They tried me, though they saw my work. For 40 years I was grieved with that generation, and said, it is a people who go astray in their hearts, and they do not know my ways. So I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Now in the tribulation generation, in the book of Revelation, it is recorded that many will rail against God because of the plagues which were designed to bring them to their knees, that they might receive mercy. The children of Israel, the children of the tribulation, were always looking for someone else to blame other than themselves. And God not being here in bodily form, He's a pretty convenient target, isn't He? Sometimes. We think that He won't hear, and we think that He won't speak, and we think that He won't act. But He does. Nobody has ever stayed angry and in a state of rebellion against God and prospered. Job knew this. The children of Israel learned this the hard way. Many through the ages have learned this as well. And let me say this, that you will not be the first one to harden your heart against God and have a good outcome. The scripture has more to say on this in the book of Romans, chapter 2, beginning in verse 5, but in accordance with your hardness and your impenitent, that means a heart that refuses to repent, your impenitent heart, you are treasuring up for yourself wrath in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to each one according to his deeds. Eternal life to those who by patient continuance in doing good seek for glory, honor, and immortality. But to those who are self-seeking and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish. On every soul of man who does evil, on the Jew first and also on the Greek. But glory, honor, and peace to everyone who works what is good, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For there is no partiality with God. And again, in the ninth chapter, What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? Certainly not. And Paul is simply restating the rhetorical question that Job asked. Who has hardened himself against him and prospered? Nobody. Is there unrighteousness with God? Certainly not. For he says to Moses, I will have mercy on whomever I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whomever I will have compassion. And if you seek these things from the Lord, you will find them. Amen. And if you do not find, because you do not seek, that's on you. That's on us. So then it is not of him who wills, nor of him who runs, but of God who shows mercy. It's not in us. It's not something that we're ever going to be able to attain to on our own power. For the scripture says to the Pharaoh, for this very purpose I've raised you up, that I may show my power in you, and that my name may be declared in all the earth. Therefore, he has mercy on whom he wills, and whom he wills he hardens. You will say to me then, why does he still find fault? For who has resisted his will? But indeed, O man, who are you to reply against God? Will the thing formed say to him who formed it, why have you made me like this? So as we sit here and we go through this as intellectual exercise, if you will, the decisions seems pretty easy. It's pretty stark. On the one hand, there is the receiving of divine mercy and compassion. And on the other, there is the hardening of the heart and the blaming of God, which will get us nowhere. But the true test comes when, like Job, we're going through the trial, through the difficulty. And what then will you do? Since we shall not prosper with hard hearts and we are without excuse, at the mercy of our Creator, there is only one sensible thing to do: to kiss the Son, to make peace with the Father through him, and inherit and trust in God's promise, to start looking at the things which are above and not be consumed with the things which are below and which are in front of us, and with our own sin and the sins of others and the sins in the world, and sin finding forgiveness at the foot of the cross. For the scripture goes on to say, blessed are all those who put their trust in him. Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, if there are any here who have been operating out of a hard heart, or have been tempted to go down that road, Lord, that you will soften the heart, that you will minister peace and comfort and love and compassion and mercy and hope to the one who needs it in the tender way that you always do. Lord, we thank you that no matter what, that you're there with us and that you promise to be so all of the days of this hard life that we live under the sun. But we are even more grateful for the hope that you offer. For the end of it all, that when this life is over, that we will one day wake up in glory, in perfect bliss, where there are no more tears, no more crying. Lord, may we be of the same mind as your servant Job. That even though we may not understand certain things, that spiritual prosperity will be at the top of our list. Lord, teach us to pray. Help us in our unbelief. Continue to work in our lives each and every day. Gently nudge us that we might be reminded to pray when we awake in the morning, when we hear it at our pillow at night, and throughout the day. And if we need more than that, well, Lord, you know best. To whom else shall we go? You have been faithful to us so many times, Lord God. We know that you cannot deny yourself. We pray your peace and your help upon every seeking soul, upon every soul in need of compassion and healing through the blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. We pray in his name. Amen.